Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa, and currently I'm hosting this show alone. I have no idea where Liz is. So let me try to text her and see what is going on. But I hope everyone's doing well. I myself am actually recovering from whatever cough that my niece gave me last week. So apologies in advance for any random coughing. Oh, here we go. Hello.
And my name is Liz.
There you go.
There you go. I had some technical delays. Hi, darling.
Hello.
What were you talking about?
Telling the people that I wasn't feeling well, that I had this big cough that I got. I babysat my niece last week, and she was home because she had a cough, and it hit me probably Saturday night. I noticed it a little bit, but I had to work on Sunday, and then by the time I got home Sunday, I'm like, I'm done. I'm just gonna go home, go to sleep. Got some Japanese food, and then went to sleep. And I had a massage scheduled for yesterday, and I was like, should I go? But what I really wanted to get was this myofascia massage that she does. And I'm like, I think I need to go. So I did go, and now I feel like, I feel bad because I hope she doesn't get sick.
Did she know that you had a cold or that?
Yeah. And she's like, you get tested? I said, I didn't, I never think about doing my home test. I actually don't even know if we have any more home tests, but I'm like, no, I know it's a cough that I got from my niece because, and they tested her because they have home test galore at their house. And they're like, it's not COVID. It's just a cough. You know? I said, okay, well, so I'm like, this is what it is. I've been fine for the last few days until, you know,
Until
now.
COVID. Right.
So, But yeah, I mean, and so she did this great massage and she's like, you know, do an Epsom salt bath, just get some sleep, drink a lot of water. And so I did do a bath and she had given me the last time I was there, she had given me a little, it's not a tincture, but like some essential oils that she put together for a detox soak. So that's what I put in my Epsom salt bath as well. Yeah.
Oh.
And so, I'm feeling a little bit better today, but yeah, I might have to pause myself to mute myself for any random bits of coughing that I have to do.
Okay. Okay.
Just so you know.
Well, you're being a trooper. That's how we do it. And welcome to our Valentine's Day special. Yay.
Woo.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well,
happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's.
That's the show. But the lights didn't work. Bye.
There you go. There you go. I know we have Jen who is calling in, so let me.
Okay.
Let's see. Let me get this.
I'm going to pull up the database because I know she's going to want a card. I already know. Let me just pull it up for Red. Well, today's a good day for that. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Hi. You're welcome. What's going on, girly? Are you just using us for our cards?
I'm using it. I gave a Valentine's card to my significant other, but because we're not in the same country, I hid it last time I was there somewhere he would never find it. So I let him know where it was this morning.
Oh, sweet. Clever. That's adorable.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that's so nice. See, women, I mean, I'm going to be sexist, but you know what? See, women, we will just, and I'm not talking about gay men, but just women. Women, because sometimes gay men are like, you know, I can learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just that extra, you know, it could be like the mother thing, whatever. And I'm being very sexist right now. I'm just saying this is a very sort of generic, general statement. So, you know, haters, relax. But, you know, just that extra bit of, you know, that extra bit of sensitivity, just really thinking about, you know, conserving somebody else's feelings. a lovely surprise. You know, I left two, these my kids' favorite chocolate cookies. I got two individual for them, a little post-it with a little heart, you know, happy Valentine's Day from mom. Like, you know, we do these things. That's lovely. All right, so the data, and we are ready when you are.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. So the number associated with this message is 814. Oh, wow, this is a good one. The wisdom of creating space from the fragmented charge of trauma and grief of the past allows the purity of wisdom to be your baseline always.
Ooh.
I love this freaking message. I never read it before. I love it. It's so appropriate. And I'm really thankful to you. I'm going to make it about me for 3 seconds, and we're going to go back to you. This weekend marks, it's crazy, but within like a 2 or 3 day period, it acknowledges the death anniversaries of my mother, my daughter, and two of my dearest friends. Crazy. The February is always like this crazy. And I'm, of course, you know, used to it, been there, done that. But this message really frames the consciousness. I'm going to read it again because it's all about the purity of wisdom. And that, my friend, is a suffer-free zone. We don't suffer when we're in wisdom and grace. We're not throwing a party either. We're just neutral, and we have our shit together. I'll take that over jumping up and down, because that's something that is sustainable and that is infinite. I'll read it again. The wisdom of creating space from the fragmented charge of trauma and grief of the past allows the purity of wisdom to be your baseline always. 814 is the number.
Well, what's a powerful message. It starts with that 8, which is the manifesting of whatever it is that you've been putting your energy into. And I guess when it talks about creating space, in a sense, that is what you're wanting to do. And that one in the middle of this is you. That space is you. And then the 4, it mentions baseline, and that is another key word for a 4 in terms of your foundation. So it's still looking at what it is you've created, what you're going to build on from there. But it's also recognizing the work that you've already done as that baseline to build on. And I think the whole energy behind it is still that 4. It's still about this form and structure, and, you know, there are no shortcuts. You just sort of, you work on it and you do it. So as you're doing your work, you can appreciate everything. That's like the stuff that you thought was really hard. The stuff that you thought was just like, oh, so much work to do. But as you get through it, you can appreciate why it was there to begin with and what it means now as it becomes a part of you. And like you said, there's wisdom in that zone. The purity of that is that it's like this essential thing. You can't be separated from it. It is part of who you are. So that isn't something that anyone can take away. Beautiful message, definitely.
Yeah, good pick, Jen.
Thank you. You know what? And it totally resonates with me, because just this morning I was looking at something going, okay, time to create space, and no, it's exactly what I was thinking about.
I love that. That's good. So how long now is it that you're with your guy? Because it was sort of, I remember that there was a, you're on the fence phase, and that was a long time ago. Yeah, so this is great. So how long has it been?
3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, just for 3 years. My crazy, like, I'm here, I'm there, I'm here, I'm there. I'm not anywhere. Now I'm in the convent, I'm out of the convent. I'm in the convent, out of the convent. The nuns kick me out, they bring me back in. So I'm sort of like, I'm in the convent, but sometimes I sneak out. That's sort of the status of, yes, yeah. And, you know, I'm just so happy to have interrupted the pattern of just really kind of losing myself, being an overgiver, imposter syndrome of, yes, I'm independent, I'm cool, yeah, yes, you can violate me and do all the things, yeah. No, all that, she's gone. We kicked her out. She's gone. Yeah. And and it's interesting because with this most recent dalliance, my approach is that, oh, yeah, we're just talking. Yeah, and I haven't really given that status prior. It's like, oh, yeah, with somebody, we're doing all kinds of crazy things. Nope. And in this case, like, no, we're just talking. Like, it's Valentine's Day, and I'm not even anticipating or checking my phone like I'm 12. You know, did I get a text? Nope. I don't feel the need for that. I'm not going to feel a certain kind of way if that's acknowledged. I feel like a grown-up. I feel aligned. I feel that there's no lack. I feel a sense of, like, inner peace and inner connection. And if there is a side of fun, you know, great. And if not, like, I'm okay. But what I appreciate about this person is, like, no one's playing games, and the thing is, in the beginning, he came in so hot, and I said this, like, in the first week, now it's about a month, and I haven't, you know, I've still been in the convent, which is good, because usually I leave the convent after about 2 weeks. I'm like, nope, I'm still in the convent, which is, I'm learning, but he really heard me, because he was coming in so hot that I said, we're never going to have a chance. If you keep going like this, I said, this is, and he really backed off, but in the most respectful, and the last two phone conversations, I really felt like it was two friends talking, supporting each other. Something new and different. Yeah, so I'm all about the slow lane right now. Whatever that means, I'm not looking for anything. I don't have any expectation. I think we're both invested in developing a friendship, and we'll see what happens. But the anxiety that I had previously is dissipating, and I'm feeling that I am in a place. I'm wondering if you're going through this too, Jen, because a lot of times our stuff energetically is parallel the way it is with me and Elisa. Do you feel like now, regardless of being in a relationship or not, but it's sort of like this period of, like, on your own, you feel the safety of being able to sort of just release and let go, like cutting ties, and release the trauma, because that's what I feel that I'm doing on a very manageable level. It's not like I'm being thrown by, you know, capsized by a huge wave or whatever. It's kind of gentle but consistent. Does that make sense to you at all?
Yeah, and I was telling my boyfriend yesterday, I said, we were talking about Valentine's Day, and I went, oh, you know what, I had this memory of this guy I went out with in my 20s, and I liked him because he could undo his pants with a beer on his head while doing a dance. So
okay, so you're a freak.
So I called him Guy with beer on head, and he said, "Oh, we'll go out on Valentine's Day. You know, I'll call you." And I said, "Okay." And then Valentine's Day came and went, and I went, "Oh, you know what? He didn't say what year."
That's funny. What year? 2045. We'll go out on Valentine's Day. Okay, that's hysterical. But he got a beard. I mean, he could be a Magic Mike. I mean, God bless.
Right.
Okay, so you know what? I see your standards are high.
I took the disappointment and I put it into comedy, which, you know, I think that's a great way of dealing with stuff.
We have to laugh. I laugh at everything. I think the laughter raises the vibration, and what I've been folding into that, and this is not new, but I guess where it comes to conscious application or just awareness of all roads leading to the feeling of relief. So instead of trying to, I'm going to try to be happy, and I'm going to try to laugh. No. How about let's just find the relief? And I'm so relieved that I've dodged a few bullets. You know, like if I had remained with the guy before this one, where our traumas just couldn't coexist, it would have been a disaster. Like I dodged a bullet. Or if I ended up not hearing from one of the two girlfriends of the sociopath, I still would have been blindly being a second-class citizen and thinking that that was all I was worth. So I really feel like these connections really give you an out-picturing of where you are in your self-value. So I'm relieved that with each experience, and being that I'm a collector of experiences, that each person is really an upgrade in terms of where I am and understanding my progress and self-value. And the massive relief overrides any externals or anxiety. And that's a beautiful place to be in. It overrides the immature feeling of less than and the anxiety-filled hypervigilance of, well, I'm only valid if I get a text that says Happy Valentine's Day. Well, I'll tell you this. I got a text from sociopath last Valentine's Day, and look how far that got me. Yeah, I've gotten texts. So what? Irrelevant. It doesn't matter because I'm getting that connection within myself. So thank you, boys, for being, you know, facilitators. But you don't get it from the outside. You get it from yourself. And that's a beautiful place to be on Valentine's Day because I feel no lack. I actually feel very full in my spirit. And that's beautiful. So we don't need it to seek it on the outside. But outside can be fun. It's an enhancement. You know, it's a cute experience. But it has to come from within. So I love that. I love not feeling like that there's a deficit. All about taking it step by step. But I love that you pulled that message. And I love how you interpreted the numbers on that. So that's good. So how often do you guys get to see each other? Because it's long distance.
I'll go over tonight now that the border's open. So I'm going to go tonight.
Oh, cool.
I'll come home tonight. Initially about once every couple weeks for a whole weekend.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's not
that's
bad.
That's good.
Good for
I think
me.
That's the best of both worlds. I think it's the best of both worlds. You know, like I have to tell you, like 99% of the time, you know, when I'm in my mom cave, I think to myself, I really don't want somebody else in the set with me. I'm so good. Doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and then you have a little dalliance, a little rendezvous, and then that's it. So yeah, that's a good situation. Like I'm not mad at long distance. You know? And you guys are making it work. Is it sort of mutual? Like, is it balanced? Because a lot of times one person wants a little bit more than the other. Like, how are you guys navigating that dynamic?
Well, it basically, if he wants to see more of me, he knows what he needs to do. He's got some stuff he needs to take care of, but he procrastinates and doesn't do it, so he can't say anything.
Okay. Hello. So, I love it. Go ahead, boss.
Like, all right, you know what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome
right.
to come and stay here, but you know,
right? And is it drivable? I think because you talked about that, right? Is it drivable?
It's like 20 to 40 minutes to get there and back, or to get there.
Oh, to Michigan?
Yeah, like I'm 6 minutes from the border, so.
Oh my
God! I can see Michigan from my front step. Like I can go outside.
Get out!
And
I thought this was a plane ride. Get the hell out of here! I thought. Listen, there are neighborhoods in New York that take longer to get to.
Right.
From where I am. Wow.
Yep.
Oh, so this is so doable.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's just the border situation. So you're right there.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought it was like this whole like long distance. Plane or like 6 hour drive.
No, there's
so
like a
really
river.
There's
a river between Detroit and where I live, and I can. It's 1.5 blocks for me to walk to the river. So
get out.
Yeah, I'm just right there.
Rolling on the river. Look at you. Okay, proud Mary. That's so cool. Also, that's very interesting. Because it's not like you guys are so far.
No.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So then there really is a lot of weight that goes with, what you just said. Well, you know what you need to do. So
right.
I thought that was okay. So that's a whole other layer of accountability or just what they need to deal with, because the obstacle in my mind was a lot greater than what it really, so this it actually gets into a much deeper level that you can't really touch because that's his stuff, right?
Right, and he did tell me, because I knew he had like some trauma from his, and you can, there's certain things that
I know
that
honey.
He's got some trauma. So he said he was going to talk to someone about it. I'm like, whoa, good for you.
That's progress. That's progress. Yeah. But I think with the last guy that had, our traumas could not coexist. they really couldn't. And the involvement that he's been seeing a therapist for 2 years now. I think she's probably getting a second house with this money. The trauma really eclipsed everything else that when I step back and there's no resentment, no anger, no, if anything, there's touch of sadness and like, bye, wish you the best. But it's like the trauma eclipsed everything. And when I really look back, and I don't feel bad about this at all, I just think it's a fact. I'm like, this trauma is so ruling this person's life that I don't really think he was capable of really caring too much about me. He's caring more about his trauma, and that's okay. And he came in so hot only to pull back. So hot, it was like too much that it really triggered my trauma because it was just too... cataclysmic. It was just too much. So we have to find that that balance. And when he sent me this one act play, I mean this text that was explaining all of his trauma, which I already was aware of, I'm like, he got no room for me, because he got to work out. He has to work through this trauma, and also what's sad, I remember having a conversation about his relationship to alcohol, and that's directly tied to his trauma. It's like that's how I grew up. because his mother was an alcoholic, and his mother committed suicide when he was a little boy, and he drinks. He can handle it, but how long can you sustain that? He drinks, what's Johnny Walker? Is that whiskey? I don't even know what that is. Is that Johnny, is that whiskey?
I think it's bourbon.
I don't know what it is, but it's hard liquor.
Yeah.
Every night. Every night. I'm like, this guy drives. Now, he appears to drive sober AF, but you're drinking. And even when things were like, quote unquote, good, I did have a conversation about his relationship with alcohol. And I said, I'm only saying it because I'm beginning to really develop feelings for you. And then when we were FaceTiming, I saw that, you know, that he wasn't drinking. And then he said he was cutting back, which was great. So I know he was probably self-conscious about it. But that's the type of thing that if it's so directly tied to your trauma, that's a thing. And we really could have imploded. So going back to that vibration of relief as opposed to feeling loss, I feel relief that I am no longer attached to previous relationships, and that those implosions, because they both imploded in my face crazy, really showed me so much about, regardless of who it is, we like to live in the slow lane. And either that's going to work or it's not, but that's where I need to be. So I'm so glad that new guy really heard me, and we're going slow, and I'm still in the convent. Thank God. Thank God. So I broke a record, actually, because usually I jump right into the fire, and I'm like, nope. The nun to make sure that, you know, I'm corseted up and I'm all good. So that's very interesting with you and your guy. But then you are really, I feel like your boundaries are very, very clear.
Oh, they are. I had a friend, though. Like, she was dating,
yeah.
And then she, you know, met this guy online, and he was, sounded like a great guy. But
they all do.
Yeah, and I do think that he was a great guy, but he was going through his divorce, and she says, I don't want to be, you know, part of all that crap.
No, of course not.
She cut him loose, but and then she reaches out to him, but, you know, I said, I don't think he's going to contact you because, you know, I don't necessarily think it's her job to, but there has to be some compassion there as well. You don't just, I don't know, if you meet someone, cutting them loose right away, you're basically severing the relationship and really severing that opportunity. And
yeah, it's confusing if you're like sort of, so why does she, wait a minute, so she cut him loose, but then she reached out, why?
Because there was no one else, but then, like,
there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I said to her, I said, you know, why are you even online if you don't even really want a date? So,
girl.
Because it's not fair to, you know, say you start talking to a guy. Yeah,
that's right.
It is misleading. And it's not fair.
That's right.
So,
That's right. Yeah. Like my profile is muted because I mean, even though all the experts say date three people at a time, like, I don't have time to even, you know, please. I like going one at a time. That's just me. And I would never, you know, I like to focus on one person at a time. So you can't even see my profile because it's muted. You can't see it. I would never. I guess people get off on the attention, but I don't understand why she's circling back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that goes back to the card too. Like, if you're seeking attention, then you have cleared that space for wisdom and clarity and basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I agree with that. So that's, yeah, it's just really interesting. Some people like to have a roster. I just don't have time or the desire. And, it's not like I'm looking to get married or even build anything with anybody. I just like a lane of experience that's completely voluntary, that's optional, and that has nothing to do with anything but feeling free and having fun in a mutually respectful, exclusive space. I can't get into you're talking to three people and you're hanging out with me. I'm just not that girl. I can't do that. A lot of people can do that. I can't do that. So I'd rather navigate. Yeah, this way. I'm glad for a change. I'm exploring flow. That's new for me. So slow and steady wins the race. And I have no patience. You know, a lot of people, and this is, everybody, heard of a lot of men doing this, a lot of women doing this, like, they're talking and they're already planning the wedding in their head and they haven't even met yet. All this, I think it's like a emotional addiction in the body. Well, all of a sudden your brain is like, okay, so then we're going to build, I don't want to build anything. I want to have respectful, fun and connection and friendship. I want to build a friendship and then we see if it goes anywhere. That's it. So we're trying something new. But I'm glad. Yeah, trying something new and different. But I'm glad that you're finding your way. And it does really seem like you have the best of both worlds. I think that's really cool.
I agree with you. I think it's great. So,
yeah, that's nice. I had no idea that he was like down the block. I had no idea. It was so close.
Well, and he lives in such a little place, too, that I wish you would come over more, blah, 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 or, I'm sure that if I said, I want to come live over there, that'd be fine, but I can't, I can't live in a shoebox.
No.
There has to be at least one and a half bathrooms. There can't just be one.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, listen, yeah. Come to New York, because one bathroom, and it kills me. Yeah. So one and a half is like, that's like, whoa, that's a penthouse. Yeah, because you have friends in New York. You know how it is here. So,
I know.
How it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate that I have a larger than average apartment, but I got that one bathroom. I have that one bathroom, but I'm blessed that I do have space. But very uncommon in New York, unless you're like wealthy. I'm very, very fortunate that I have a place where we could all breathe, but only one bathroom. So, yes, of course we want that one and a half bath at least.
Right.
Especially if you're a woman staying over. You want your little private situation. Even if it's in the guest bathroom, at least you can have all your stuff in, I get it.
No.
Yep.
Well, it's
yep.
funny because he was going to come over, and I cleared out a drawer for him. So it's about making space,
nice.
Right?
I cleared out a woman. See, that's what a woman does. You have the car for Valentine's Day, you're going to clear out a drawer. Do they do that for us? All right, go ahead.
Well, that's right. So I said, right? No, and then couldn't make it over because of his problem. So, and I said, I sometimes get the impression that, you have no desire to make space for me in your life. He said, what do you mean? And I cleared out a drawer for you, and there's really nowhere for me to put anything here. Okay, I'll do that. So, but you can't expect
because you have to tell them.
Yeah, my mom did that with all of her marriages. Does she just expect everyone to read my mind without?
Yeah, you can't
telling
do that. You have to communicate. You got to communicate.
Exactly.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
and once he knew, like once I said that, he was like all over it, but. They don't think.
Yeah, but they don't think. No. And I know we're being very sexist. We're being very sexist. Too bad. It's Valentine's Day. We can do whatever you want. We're being very sexist. But it's like, and again, just a very general statement. I think a woman's brain has the capacity to sort of think about the bigger picture and to process multiple things concurrently, where I think, and again, very general sexist statement that I'm making, where I think the masculine brain is more about like one thing at a time.
Mm.
And that's like the focus, or so that appears to me. So if there's a crisis or a situation or whatever, that's going to be the focus. And then the peripherals just fall to the wayside, where I think, I mean, maybe it's because we're mothers, you know, or women have the capacity to be a mother. So we have that maybe that survival instinct of like, you know, we got to make sure everybody's good. I don't know. Very, very interesting. But I'm glad that you guys, you know, have been working at 3 years. That's significant. I mean, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's I'm very surprised because you knew how much I was on the fence before.
You're on the fence for like a year. Yeah, you're on the fence for a long time.
I know.
You had like, you know, the indentation of the fence on your butt. You were on it for so long.
But I've also, you know, I've come to terms with the fact that he's on the spectrum, like in he's a genius, like in certain regards.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Just socially there, he's got, and I went, well, you know what, that's indicative of someone who's got like ADHD or something like that. And he doesn't take offense when I say, oh, that's spectrum behavior. Because I think he, you know, knows that, and it's, you know, it doesn't make my life, but you know, there are times when I'm introducing him to friends and he starts arguing about probabilities.
Well, right, but that's somebody that there's so many people that I feel undiagnosed and just a touch on the spectrum. I see it all the time, and I love that I'm aware of that, because there's a lot of grace and forgiveness. Like, there's no excuse for bad behavior or what have you, but to sort of see it through that filter, and then you see how it balances out with the genius,
mm-hmm.
with the, yeah. And I actually think the new guy that I'm talking to, I think, is a drop on the spectrum. But the genius, it eclipses so much to me. I'm like, okay, that you can have that drop. You know, you can have that drop, and I can understand it, because look at this magnificence that's coming out of that incredible mind, which I find incredibly attractive. Yeah, so it balances.
Exactly.
You know,
and then
if you can't,
even the good doctor found love.
Hello? Right, that's funny. Yeah, so right. And if it's managed, if it's handled, if you're able to function, you know, you work with it. Yeah. So it's having that compassion and then appreciating the genius that is often a byproduct of, you know, being on the spectrum, even at its most minimal. So whether it's diagnosed or undiagnosed, I mean, we can kind of tell, right?
Yeah. Because
we've got wisdom. Say
again? Because we've got wisdom, because we created that space.
Yes, ma'am. See, I love that it's going back to that message. Yep. And that really eclipses judgment and self-doubt and insecurity. And that's what I love about that space of clarity and wisdom, by understanding the gifts are traumas and experiences. That's, or grief, or whatever you want to call it, like, that's the gift, is that it's so pure, that space of wisdom, you know? It can never be tainted or polluted. It's sacred, and you earned your spot through surviving and working through, knowing the obstacle is the path, and just boldly facing whatever it is, and having that consistency and resilience, and you cross that finish line and you end up in the place of wisdom, you can't be touched. I love that. I love that. And you could be so good on your own. Like, I'm so good on my own. Yes. Do I like that I'm talking to somebody? Absolutely. I love that. And I prefer that, as opposed to not talking to somebody. I prefer that. But it's different in that it's the first time where I feel like these bookends of the inner core of wisdom being balanced with the joy and the energetic presence into somebody new. I kind of like it. The real test would be being anchored in that place of wisdom, and it doesn't matter if I'm talking to somebody new or not. But I'm not going to rush to get to that place because at this point I'm just developing a friendship. I'm just talking to somebody. I love that I don't consider this to be a new relationship. That's to be determined. And I'm okay with that. It's not like I'm needing that or that I'm feeling a sense of lack. And maybe that's what it comes down to, where you don't feel like you are in a deficit or that you're lacking or needing. Oh, my God, Jen, did you, and Lisa, did you see, I think it was on Instagram, it went viral about this woman on a plane that her boyfriend, oh, my God, boyfriend broke up with her. And this video went viral. She was screaming like a feral animal that on the plane they had to contain her. What? It went viral. Oh, yes. I'm going to actually.
He broke up with her while they were on the plane?
They were on the plane. Uh-huh. They're on the plane. Let me see if I could find this. And let me see. Because it is crazy. Let me see. I'm going to just look real quick. Let me see. Hold up. Because this happened.
That doesn't seem like a good plan at all.
Okay. Okay. I'm going
to. You're in a contained space.
Okay.
I don't care how short that flight is.
Alisa, I'm going to text this to you right now. And Jen, I'm going to, let's see. Okay. So, Alisa, tell me when it comes in.
Okay. Got it.
Are you on a headset? Because I don't know, because I'm so technically whatever, and I'm half a cup of coffee. Is there a way that you can play it so we hear the audio?
Let me see.
Because she sounds like a wild, feral animal. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
It just went viral.
Let me see what's going on here.
It was all over Instagram.
That's it, meltdown. Let's see if I can get it. All these other ads were popping up. Hold on.
I know. It's a pain in the ass. I'm sorry. But it says, man dumps girlfriend American Airlines flight leading to meltdown and removal. So the meltdown occurred.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's what I'm talking about.
They must not travel well together.
Oh, my gosh.
No, they don't. I don't think so. I don't think they'd make good traveling. Can you imagine? She sounded like she couldn't exist without this guy. On a plane. I mean, that's not attractive, girl.
Maybe
right?
It was smart because then he had, like, people to help contain it. Because I think if he'd done it just, you know, the two of them,
he probably
would have gotten injured.
And also, too, you know, and it's really interesting, and this is, I think, kind of a good thing, where men are becoming much more aware of the potential consequences of their behavior because of Me Too and council culture, which really isn't a bad thing. You know what I mean? If they're gonna, boys will be boys. Okay, well, you can do that bullshit behind closed doors, but don't involve women. You can talk amongst yourselves and be totally stupid, whatever. I don't want to know about it. But to be aware of, you know what? I better do this on the. You're that smart, Lisa. I better do this on the plane because she's extra, and I don't want her to say that I was trying to rape her or this, that, or the other.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of, like, men are being very hyper-vigilant about what they're saying, their behavior. So maybe he's like, I got to do this. And maybe he didn't think she was going to go all extra like that. Mm. Or maybe she was just driving him so crazy that he was just so, like, exasperated.
Yeah.
That he's like, I got to shut this down. But
yeah,
can you believe that audio, Jen?
Ooh.
Awful.
Yeah.
Like a
feral cat. Yeah.
A feral animal. Yeah. But it was all over Instagram, so you'll see it. But but just hearing it, and I just knew, just hearing it, because I heard it, and I'm like, what the hell? It is so primal. And yet, as you go down to that, like at a primal cellular level, yes, as human beings, we are wired for human connection. Touch is actually more important than sex. Touch is very important. We're all sort of yearning for that connection, whether it's conscious or unconscious, whether it doesn't even need to be a partner, but it's just community, family, gathering with people, whatever. But if it's to the point that you're investing all your emotional needs and survival is based on another person, like they're a dialysis machine, I mean, come on. I mean, this poor woman, and I'm really curious, like, where are they now? And can you imagine they got back together? Oh, no, we're good.
Oh, gosh, no.
Can you imagine? Oh, I love him. Oh, yeah, I love him. Can you imagine? I mean, wow. I wonder how long they were there. Like, I'm really curious as to the backstory of that. But that happened earlier this month. So that really, yeah, talk about relief. I was relieved that I wasn't that girl. I was relieved that I am so good to not be in a committed situation with anybody right now. I was so relieved, like the energetics of relief. If we can start there, instead of trying to find, oh, I want to find these things to make me happy, whatever I'm lacking. No, you don't have to lack anything and still be in relief. And then you don't have to feel like you're lacking anything. The relief that I'm not her. Right there.
Well,
that's a
you
good
know
thing.
What? You know what's unfair, though, is so he does that. He breaks up with her on a plane, and you're right. Maybe she poked him too hard, whatever. But if you're in a relationship where you're on a plane together, I think he's obligated to get off the plane with her. You know, you can't just abandon someone you're traveling with.
Exactly.
A very shallow character.
Yeah, that's when it would be nice to know the backstory, you know.
Yeah, like, I'm very curious about that.
If they were, obviously they're traveling together, but do they live together?
Well, they don't know. Yeah, who knows? I mean, she sounded like a caged animal. Crazy. And, I mean, what's her future going to be like? Oh yeah, I was the chick from the video. Who's she gonna get?
But that's why, like, as a parent or friend or whatever, we owe it to our friends, family, to help them with their emotional intelligence, because people,
yes.
And I was, circle back to the airplane, people are just losing their shit on airplanes
mm-hmm.
without
right.
any thought of, you know.
Such a disregard,
you know,
yes.
Exact regard for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why travel has become so difficult.
It's horrible.
Like, you know, I don't want to get on a plane, you know. You never know what's going to happen. But
you never know, yep.
Life is going to throw you some curveballs. And
I mean, come on.
Taking your curveball and, like, taking that anger, but instead of...
Yep, through it and face it. Yeah, I mean, when that last
yeah.
situation happened with me, I cried for 3 days, and I just was very objective, like, okay, this is the experience of heartache. I'm collecting experiences. Okay, I understand what that feels like. It's not fun, but I'll get to the other side of it. And I did, with the byproduct being the grace of wisdom. Wisdom, because I broke a lot of patterns with that situation. That's the gift. Instead of, like, this whole disregard and this dismissiveness and the danger, you know, the danger of losing it like that in a contained space where everybody's vulnerable on a plane. You're on a plane.
Right.
It's a vulnerable situation. There's no guarantee that you're going to make it, you know, that you're going to want. There's no guarantee with anything in this life. But everybody's contained in the sky, and you're having, this extreme breakdown. And I wonder how much, I wonder how he planned it, you know what I mean? Like how many, you know, when were they going to land? Or how long was the flight? Like, just those details. I don't know if it says anything in the article, but I think it's
Man.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. And I wonder if it was just one of those situations where they've been nagging each other, or she'd been nagging him, or...
Right.
You know,
something. They were fighting, or...
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
know. We don't know. I have no idea. But
wow.
I just find it really, really fascinating that, first of all, it was captured on video, and that it's just such a reflection of the extreme of just human nature. Just what is that? Like, do we have no sense of pride? Dignity. Like, you may break my heart, but you'll never know it. I will have my head held high. I don't chase. I move on. That's it. No matter if my heart is broken, you'll never know. It's called dignity. Look into it. Poor thing. I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I wonder how old
there
she is.
Go. Yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea.
Well, and I also wonder how pretty she is, because I was watching, what was it, Dr. Phil, which is now canceled, and he
okay.
had, you know, Paulina Porlikova, I can't remember.
Yes,
name, but
Porlikova, yeah.
Yes, Polakova, yeah.
And she was talking about, you know, men don't notice older women, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, there's a whole set of women that men never noticed. So you crying about being old and no one's noticing you anymore?
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
Exactly. She wrote a book about it, like.
And that's not true, actually. She's that, you, honey, that's not true. But go ahead.
Yeah, no,
what
you're right.
Saying.
It isn't true, but it's,
I mean,
the...
look at us. Hello. Yeah, it's not true.
You know, I'm fat and old. Men look at me all the time.
Yeah, hello. And you're not. Cancel that. But go ahead.
You know, I think that people have their priorities all out of whack.
Right. So was she sort of like being like the victim? Like, what was her problem?
Yeah, she was playing a victim. Like, you know.
Oh,
men,
shut
and
up.
It was like the way she was like, oh, you know, men should notice older women. I'm like, well, I think men can notice whoever they want to notice.
Exactly.
You know,
that's right.
Since when is it any of our business? And furthermore, you know, get over yourself.
Exactly. But you know what it is with the extremes, Jen? Because she was like back in the day, you know, she was, the it girl, you know.
Yeah.
Became Ripple K. Fitzwhite. And then he totally, you know, something, I don't know how toxic their marriage was, but he totally cut her out of the will through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, it's interesting because I feel sorry for the very beautiful people. I feel sorry for them because this is what happens. When you have relied so much on the exterior, right? Like, I love, actually, that, I wasn't this, like, extreme, not this extremely beautiful person. I didn't say I'm unattractive. I think I'm very attractive. But that the only thing people would see would be, like, these model-esque looks. That's not me. Thank God. So now, as a mature woman who has cultivated street smarts and personality and humor and an individual sense, and I know how to take care of myself and all of those things, I have sustainability, you know, and I really started just to explore that freedom post-marriage at the age of 59. So I want to hear from these bitches. I do not want to hear it because she's making a generalization, but I think it's because of the extreme of relying on just being so drop dead model beauty, you know, beautiful, that it can't be sustained now as a mature woman. And that's not true. And then to project that, talk about law of attraction, to project that message that she's on Dr. Phil claiming that, well, she's going to continue to attract that.
Mm-hmm.
And she is beautiful. I see what she looks like now. She still looks good. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But she's going to become less attractive vibrationally, you know what I mean? Because what you're saying to me sounds very unattractive, that it doesn't matter. It's very interesting. And, you know, and then what's crazy is I got a call from, I call him the gateway. It was the first person I dated during this, when I was 59. He was the gateway. He was the first person that I got involved with. We were together for 5 months. And he just wanted to touch base. We hadn't talked in over a year. We parted very amicably. He's very, very attractive. And he just wanted to tell me that he left New York and he moved and whatever, whatever. And we have this FaceTime. I always found him very attractive. I always loved his sense of style. But when we were talking, I felt nothing. It wasn't enough. His looks weren't enough to keep me engaged. And I would feel this way whether I was talking to somebody new or not. I felt nothing. And I felt so relieved because my mind is wired, I say this all the time, as a sapiosexual. I'm so attracted to the mind. And then look second. And even though this guy is so attractive, I felt nothing. So we have to cultivate all the unique parts of ourselves for us. And that's attractive, not to be put this blanket statement that, you know, older women are no longer perceived as attractive. She's a liar because, Jen, you and I, we're proof, but, like, not true, bitch. Sit down. So on that note, and thank you for being our co-host today, Jen. On that note, if you guys need to, that's fun. I loved it.
Thank
and also,
you.
Too, you know, Elisa with the coffee, and I thought this would be kind of a nice, just you could just sort of rest and sort of chill and whatever. So, perfect. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com, and we will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And you know what? This was a Valentine's Day special because we're talking about love.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. And in the meantime, please take care of yourself and each other. Let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Happy Valentine's Day, y'all. Love you.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.